Bonnie Downey, everyone. This is Professor Amin Ra, Professor Emeritus, California State University of Long Beach, former city councilman for the city of Compton, and former Compton College Board of Trustees, as well as Compton Unified School District Board of Trustees. We want to welcome you here to the Conscious Corner, where we do deep thinking and courageous questioning about actual facts about Black, about our struggle, about our achievement, about how we can get along, trying to come up with solutions to the issues that we face. And not only that we face, but for all humanity. And I hope that you enjoy this session, because we're going to be talking about some of the critical issues that have happened in the recent days how it affects us as a people, and what should we do about some of these things if you accept them as potential threat. We want to welcome our panel of Brother Ernest McBride, who is one of the strong brothers in Long Beach, California, where he's an archivist for the Long Beach, for his father, Ernest McBride Sr., and his achievement to moving the Black community in Long Beach forward. One of the critical and most profound leaders in the Long Beach area, the most respected and most feared by white folks, was Ernest McBride Sr. And his son, Ernest McBride Jr., has kept up with his legacy, keep it afloat as the Black community and Long Beach recognized his father by naming buildings and schools and recreation centers after them. In his honor, and we appreciate that. We got Brother ID out of Detroit, strong brother, activist, traveling man that loves to travel, bring back his experience and share them with activists, a community activist, trying to get Detroit back on track. You know, ever since the challenges that Detroit has faced, with them taking off a lot of federal money, that led to a lot of dilapidations in areas. When Detroit was the center of a major revolt in '65, it may believe that the reason why the government is so hard on Detroit by white folks so hard on Detroit was because of that resistant movement in the 1967, I think it was. And the other, Sister Linda Shorter, outstanding activist, journalist, a person that has what she called a cyber museum, which online museum, which she's dealing with actual people that made a difference with their inventions and creativity toward the health.
And Professor Ra, if I can please add to that, a curator, educator, and expert of Black inventors and their inventions. If I may add, please.
That's too much for me to remember.
Okay, yes, sir. Gotcha. Okay.
But I'll get it next time. I'll call you, write it down.
Okay, thank you. Appreciate that. Thank you.
Your name on our website. And then, is machine on, Rashidi?
Machine's here.
Okay. Brother Machine out of Louisiana. Strong brother. Activist. Just a deep thinker and investor, a good businessman, a brother that pulled himself out of the Compton and South Central area and went to Louisiana to make a statement to the people that he's back and he's here. And he's the one that keeps us abreast of what's going on in the South. And there's so much going on with regards to the South and the changes and the challenges that our people are facing, and the challenges, and he lets us know their mindset and their activity. And then Rashidi Mascagni, the brother that's responsible for both the Conscious Corner and the Community Education Network, making his personal journey to make sure this platform stay up. And as you say, each one teach one to the community. Mascagni, Cal State Long Beach graduate and strong activist and student of the movement and student of coming up with solution. And one of its solutions is mass communication through this program, which he called Community Education Network. And that's our email. And if you pull it, I mean, I'll also take you to our website, and that you can get archives of speeches, audio tapes, and as well as what's going on the next week, and other forms of statements and profiles of information that we have. We again, we want to welcome you here. You okay? It took me off. Can you hear me, Rochke? Can you hear me?
Yes. Oh. Just showing the website right now.
Oh, you showing it? Oh, man, that scared me, man. Yeah, okay. All right. President, yeah. That's our website right here that you're seeing. For those that's viewing it, that's not here. And that's an example of the material and the things that you have on the website. You can explain the recipe while you're going through it.
Okay, it's, you know, we have different pages on here. We've got the home page, we have the about. The home page features the podcast that we have and how anybody can access it. And under each show, we have join Zoom meeting. So it's open to the public. We have Black Conscious Podcast Collective, but we have about three other groups with us. And we have plenty of videos, over 100 there. And then at the bottom is where you can contact us. And we have that information there. And then we have various pages. We have the podcast, which all of our podcast is on audio on here, and the rest are on YouTube. And then we have perspective writings by myself and Brother Thomas. And then we have a couple of other people that co-wrote a paper with me. And then we have tutoring services. It's not really active, but if anybody access that, they could get some tutoring. We have a Legends page with Professor Roz on that Legends page. And then also we have community actions. We have a forum. If anybody want to start, you know, writing about anything that we want to talk about, it's a forum. If you have any ideas, you can get on there. And then we have recommendations, which features businesses and services that people can access. So that's the website.
Okay. I want to say Santa to the rights of people doing that. But listen, brothers and sisters, we're in difficult, demanding, and dangerous times. And we as the African people must do some deep thinking and come up with solutions for our people and for ourselves as far as how to deal with this focus of the development and empowerment of white supremacy in America and also abroad. So this is what we're going to discuss. I want to ask the question of any of the panel. Do anyone know about the Dred Scott decision? Because they said that is what was the basis of one of the basis for the 14th Amendment. The 14th Amendment is what gave African Americans that were formerly enslaved citizenship. The Dred Scott situation was that he was a slave, enslaved with his master, but they lived in what they call territory that was free, that there shouldn't have been no slavery in there. Slavery was outlawed. And so he filed a suit for the purposes of being free. And what they did to him was determined what they call Dred Scott decision. What they said was he can't sue because no former enslaved person or even a free African in America at that time in the 37th state was recognized as citizens and could never be a citizen. And that was the Supreme Court ruling. And that's why they called it the Dred Scott decision. And then the 14th Amendment was supposed to change that by saying that African Americans were people born who were slaves and descendants of slaves were in America, that they were born in America, that they were citizens. But there's another caveat to that, and that is that it also said, and everyone else who's born in America is a citizen. So, Brother Rachi, I'll start with Linda. How do you feel about that notion of birthrights and being an American citizen here? Do you think that's a benefit, or you think that there's some issues with it? There, Linda? Rachi? Hello?
No, sir. Can you repeat that, please?
Yeah. The 14th Amendment gave African Americans that were formerly enslaved citizenship if they were born in America. You know, those that were born in America gave them citizenship.
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel about that? And do you think that was a benefit? Or you think that was just something that they wanted to do that, for any other reason than a citizen giving them citizenship?
I mean, I'm familiar with a little bit of the Dred Scott decision, but I never really thought about it until you just mentioned it all this time. I even went to school under criminal law, so I'm going to have to really research that and think about that some more.
Ahi, how do you feel about it?
Well, once again, you know, it was made, Dred Scott, that decision was made because of the Dred Scott case. Was a very important case, which a lot of people said led to the Civil War. But once again, a law that was made to protect our interest as the African diaspora is usurped by the other folks, minorities, not minorities, but colored people around the world who are benefiting from that more than us. And now they're crying the blues.
But see, what they're saying now is that the Trump administration is attacking the 14th Amendment, saying it was only for Black people that were enslaved. And it didn't mean for anybody born in America.
And that was his interpretation, yeah. It's his reasoning for exporting these people. I mean, for stopping that benefit for them.
He was trying to deal with the immigration issue.
Well, this is another... it's all about white supremacy and maintaining control.
Okay. What about you, Ernest?
Yeah, I kind of agree with them because that's what's been happening. Because I was thinking back what you said about the Dred Scott. Now, was that the one where they counted the slaves as 3/5?
No, that's a different one. That was okay. A different one. That was because the Black people outnumbered white people in the South.
Right.
So they only count 3/5 of them to vote as people. They didn't say they were 3/5 of a man. They said only 3/5 of their population could vote.
Right.
The people took it and did it.
I never really thought about that because I've been kind of down the last couple of days because my my brother's eldest son passed away Sunday.
I'm sorry.
Kind of dealing with that, you know.
Oh, yeah. That'll do it. That'll do it.
Yeah.
All right. All right. Brother Mashinda. Yeah, Mashinda. Well, you want to go next, Rashi Q?
Yeah, well, you know, when the original intent was for us to be slaves, and that intent remains to this day. And anytime we come up with resistance and get laws on the books by resisting and doing whatever it takes to become a citizen and become a, you know, rightfully ours as human beings in this country. And because they don't want that, every attempt that they get, they're going to strip it. And it's just happened to be that Trump is in office and he's overt. So he's going to do and you know, especially make sure everything is in place for him and his family, and then along with his other billionaire friends, to make sure that they stay in their status quo. So the Dred Scott case was fought, and you said the amendments came from that, and it was something that needed to be, but that's not the intent of these people. The intent of these people is to keep doing what they're doing to maintain their power. So that's just how it is. And so the thing about it is to keep resisting like we always talk about, and then have alliances with other Black nations, like in Africa, like Burkina Faso and Mali, and people like that are being progressive in controlling and wanting to control their own resources in their land. So it's a struggle. So yeah, okay. Yeah, that's what I have to say about it.
Okay, well,
Professor Rob.
Yeah.
Mashinda. I'm back. I got crossed up, but I'm back. I'm just letting you know.
All right.
I heard.
Remember the question. What do you think about it?
Yeah, okay. I got it. Well, you know, basically, you know, going back to Dred Scott, it all boils down to brother. He, you know, used that key word there about interpretation. You know, and that's what we're up against. You know, you got the enemy in charge of interpreting the laws, interpreting what's true and what's false, regardless of what we think, you know. So when you got a 7-2 or whatever the number is, 5-6-5 or 4, you know, if we all played sports or we all played something where in a game where, you know, the one who has the most points win, you know. P. Diddy will tell you about that, you know. He won 5-3 or 5-2 or whatever, you know, that kind of thing. So we're talking about interpreting the law. Dred Scott, you know, you talking about free territory versus non-free territory, you know. So his point was, hey, you know, look, I was a free guy, man. I ain't got nothing to do with that. And then the judge said, well, it don't matter. You guys, you know, you guys are slaves. You know, you don't have no rights, you know. So he interpreted, well, it was Taney or whatever his name was, you know, he interpreted the way he wants to. And that's what they're doing today, you know, with Trump and all them. You know, he stacked the deck and they're interpreting the laws. And so in this society, this is all we got. So it's kind of a bad situation that we're in now. As far as, so it just boils down, you know, again, brother, he hit it, you know, again, mentioned white supremacy. It's no question. You know, you got people that don't like you. No matter what you're talking about on this podcast, they hate you. They don't like you. and they don't want you to have no power, and that's it. That's what it's about. And so it's us against them or whatever, you know. And they have the power when they have the interpretation of the law. Now, what can you do? Look at MacArthur Park. Look what how they're treating the people in MacArthur Park. You got legal citizens in there playing in that park, and they don't give a damn. They walking through there with horses and all that kind of stuff, like them brown coats from the Nazis, them brown jackets, whatever the hell they call them, you know, from the Nazis. They, you know, this is the stance that they putting on, and they getting away with it through interpretation, you know. So I think I don't know who was, we've had people on the podcast saying that, you know, we're going to have to start killing them or start shooting them. Who's, you know, we've had brothers saying, hey, we got to go all in. You know, Malcolm said by any means necessary. If Malcolm X was alive and this was going on, especially with black people, it's going to be a problem. You know, of course, you know, when you got the military against your organization, it's a good chance that you might knock off a few of them, but you're going to be done because you can't beat them. So it's got to be some spiritual warfare going on that's going to have to resurrect it, or that's going to have to resolve the situation, you know, on a higher plane. And I ain't talking religion, you know, but interpretation is the key word. And as far as how they, I'm not in agreement with none of it. You know, I'm not in agreement with anything negative. And but I hope that answers some of the question.
Well, look, brother.
You see, some people don't realize what citizenship means. Some people just think you just belong, you're just American citizen, you're just American citizen. But there was a lot that went into being an American citizen. It's like you're part of their, you're part of their corporation, they would say. Their institution, but really, citizenship, as Machinda said, they make the law. It's supposed to, when they say you're a citizen, they're saying that you have equal protection under the law, no matter where you are, born out of the country or in the country, the American citizenship. It goes with you, and people have to respect it, or they will come and help you. They are obligated to help you. That's why some countries try to get their citizens back. And the other thing is that you are guaranteed due process in this country from that standpoint. In other words, they can't just come and take things from you or try you without a trial or take your property without notice and giving you an opportunity to challenge it and things of that nature. You're guaranteed that as an American citizen. You have that apparatus. And then the other issues are very important because you have the rights, equal treatment under the law for all citizens, equal treatment. No one's supposed to be above the law, and you're part of that citizen. But being a part of that citizen means they can tax you, meaning they could, at one time, they could draft you, they're under your control. You're part of their set, and, you know, they can do good things to you, but a bad thing, they have the right to try you. You understand? For crimes, or they have the right to defend you also. That's what the public defender is about, in equalness and fairness. Whatever the system calls for treating one citizen, they're supposed to treat the rest of the citizen. And so, many people don't realize that, but at the same time, at the time that they did this ratification of this amendment in 1868, you have to understand that it said all former slaves are citizens that were born in America, born in the United States. That's very important for you to understand. But the caveat to it was that, and everyone else, that means people from France, people from Mexico, people from, anyway, if they have babies here, the babies are citizens, automatic, if they have a baby. So that's very critical, because most people would like to say it was just written for us, but if you read the whole thing, it says that anybody else who's born here is a citizen. Now, I want you to pay attention to that, take note of that, because we're still fighting for equal protection under the law. We're still fighting for due process. We're still fighting for all the rights of civil liberties that go with being an American citizen. Civil liberties is your freedom of speech, your freedom to bear arms, and your the freedom of the press. And then those 10 Bill of Rights, those civil liberties. And the United States is supposed to guarantee them to you, them liberties, that people cannot come and take, police can't just run in your house and without a warrant. People can't do certain things to you. You have those rights. But we as Africans and Blacks, they said we are citizens, but by name, but as far as the substance of enforcing the citizenship laws to protect us and guarantee our rights and ensure our rights, they didn't do that. That's why they had sharecropping. That's why they had lynching. That's why they had segregation. And that's why they had all type of black codes, all of that, you understand, was part of it. So it gave you, as Joe Hemrick would say, the illusion of inclusion. And even to today, if George Floyd was an American citizen, he shouldn't have been choked to death. If Michael Brown was a citizen, he shouldn't have been shot in the back and shot saying, hands up, and all the other young people, all a disproportionate amount of black people in prison versus other groups. All of that, if you were a citizen, you wouldn't have the homelessness you have if you were a citizen from the standpoint of having protection. What Trump did was he filed a lawsuit. Some people filed a lawsuit saying that people, that he was deporting people without giving them due process. And they did it under the auspices of the 14th Amendment. What the Supreme Court said was Trump could continue to deport people en masse without due process until we rule on the substance of it, the part of equal protection and the part of due process. So they didn't even let support these people that they're deporting, due process. Now the problem with that is that many of the people that they're deporting had either protected status, visa, some others were American citizens that they didn't, you know, because they couldn't go to court and prove that who they were, they were deported, you understand? And so that's why I look at the citizenship of America as far as like they give you voting rights, the right to vote. You have the right to vote as an American citizen, but then they find ways to depress your vote or gerrymander your vote or find ways to get you kicked off the voters' roll. so that even though you voting, your collective vote is affected. Some individuals do vote, but it's never enough unless it's a split between other races and whites, and we become the deciding vote. Are y'all following me on this?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes,
So we have it's just like there were 250 treaties that the Native Americans signed with America, according to Kwame Ture and his research. And many of them, they just shook hands. And some, but then they had, some had documents. America didn't keep one treaty. I want you to understand, they, as he was saying, they create the law and the machine. They came over here and set up their own system, talking about they discovered this land like it was just nobody else here. And just start, see, the first colony was a fort. It was called Fort Running. It wasn't a colony of people coming to try to learn the culture and work with the people here. They built a fort immediately. They came, the pilgrims and all these so-called explorers that we read about and studied in school, they were all gangsters. They were all thugs. They came here for new ways of life. That's what they say, but they also say for riches and also and goods and spices and stuff. And they set up their own laws in this country. The Native American never signed the Constitution. The African people that was here, even the ones that were free, was not a part of the formation of the Constitution. It was all white men. It was written for them. And this white boy in Florida wrote a paper for the law school journal. And it's, he said, he comes out explicitly, he said the Constitution was written for just white men, period. Not even the woman at this time. And that and he won. He got an award for the right of this. This is recent. I sent it out to some people.
Oh, I want to see that. Please send it to me.
I will. And so, you have to look at it from that standpoint. So what I'm saying to you, even though brothers like Ernest and other many brothers that served in the services, many went for different reasons. Some were drafted. Some were not drafted when they had to draft, but some volunteered. Some went to escape imprisonment or problems. Made their kids go to be, tell my dad, make you a man, learn discipline and self thing. There were different reasons for Black people to serve this country. That's one reason. Second, for taxes, you know, regardless if they're giving you your rights or not. Remember, taxation without representation or are things as nature. Well, Black people pay a lot of taxes, but they don't get the benefit of those taxes and things like that. You have to fight and struggle for your community to have better things and things of that nature. And that's a very critical, Rashid, you got that law student up in there. But I'll send you the paperwork. And so you look at it, it gives you the illusion that you have citizenship, but they don't enforce it. That's why it's called law enforcement. And so when Trump filed that, the Supreme Court did not rule on the substance of birthrights. They just moved on the aspect that he can continue his mass deportation. And that's very critical from that standpoint, because we're looking at a challenge of looking through the cobwebs of confusion and the blindness by the euphoria of being in America, by some individual success, but not mass success. They allow you to do a lot of things, but they won't empower you or give you a problem. When they see that, they attack immediately. And so this is why even black people don't see themselves as black. Even black people who want a civil rights and equal rights and all that, they see, no matter how you see yourself as a human being, just wanting to live, they see you as their natural enemy. Not all white people, just they build institutions that do their work for them. The criminal court system, the IRS, tax collection, all the aspects of the military and all of that. Right now they have armed troops in Los Angeles and some in Florida, and they can send some to Texas.
Military the governor's wishes.
In the street. In the street. Not fighting the foreign some space people attacked from another country, but to fight their own citizens. Now, they did this back in the 60s when some of the National Guard shot the people at Kent State and Jackson State and things of this nature, and they said they would never do that again. But you see it's happening right now. And even though they're not really having the violent demonstrations that they had in the beginning in Los Angeles, the troops are still here. You understand? And so I just want y'all to understand about the citizenship, because people just take it for granted that it don't really mean that much. That's like dudes that say, well, getting married don't mean nothing. Well, if it don't mean nothing, then do it, because it do mean something. It's documentation that you are sharing your lives together and all your wealth that you accumulate together, and you have a commitment to each other from the standpoint of the law, of document. And it lets people know who's your number one beneficiary if something happened to you, your wife or your husband, and then your children. Because people used to be polygamous. And without documentation of marriage, excuse me, people could come in and challenge, and they get in a bunch of squabbles. But marriage is to really centralize your union into one, and that you pull that with mutual respect. But anyway, getting back to this citizenship.
That's wrong.
Yeah.
Dr. Sharita here, you want to get her take on it?
Yeah, go ahead.
You got to tell her what we were talking about. Dr. Sharita, are you there? I don't know. She may be just listening.
Okay. All right. Well, anyway, and then getting back to, like I said.
I'm just listening. I'm driving.
Okay, good. So you drive careful. See, we have to pay close attention to the courts. Specifically, people be saying, well, Trump trying to get to be a dictator. He's already one. He can go to federal courts. They just bought everybody but contingent Brown and Sotomayor. I mean, it's paid them cash. They talked about the trip, the money they'd be getting, and we don't even know about the money. We don't know about the cash envelopes they'd be getting and things of this nature to rule in front, in favor with Trump. The Congress, they are totally committed, no matter how wrong. Here's a man that said he wanted to get criminals out of the country, and he's one. He's a criminal. He has 39 count felonies found guilty. And then sued for sexual assault. They wouldn't even file, excuse me, charges against him. But look what they're doing to Diddy. Look what they're doing to the Bill Cosby and Kelly, and all that. They filed charges on them. Michael Jackson, they filed charges on them. You know, it wasn't about no civil thing. But Trump, all they did, they found him guilty in the civil court of sexual assault, but did not one federal DA or anything went after me and things of this nature. And this is why when he said that they make the laws for themselves, he's correct. Because look what happened with the attack on the Capitol. Many of those people had felonies that got arrested. Many of those people had violence, beating up police, doing all kinds of stuff. He gave pardons to all of them. Every one of them, even the ones that, you know, they were found guilty in a court of law. 12 people found them guilty. You understand? And he gave them all pardons. You understand? And so you have to begin to look at the system. Now, what do we do about it? How do we deal with it? You know, first of all, you got to acknowledge that it's happening. You know, you can't solve a problem unless you see the problem. Most of our people do not see the problem. You understand? So it's not about being able to get a bunch of people together. I mean, they are acculturated, meaning absorbed into the system. They'd rather stay here in America with all its present discriminatory and conditions of abuse and oppression and other forms of deprivation toward us, than to go somewhere else that they don't know about.
Right.
They don't know the diseases that are building a new life. Some people have left. Don't get me wrong. Some people have left. But it's not about repatriation or just leaving the country. Some people want to do that. Some people argue that is the answer, to get passports and prepare to leave because they think they're going to. But that's just like Black people who lived in the Black community, moved out the white community, and found out that there's discrimination there, that it wasn't a heaven, and that they couldn't just integrate the way it was. You know, see, you never confuse individual achievement with mass benefit for all of us. I mean, we get the euphoria of Michael Jordan, LeBron James, or Willie Mays, and Jim Brown, about outdoing white folks on the football field and baseball and all that. That's a sport, you know. Yeah, you're showing that we have great athletes. And then we did the Wilma Rudolph, the Williams sisters, and Coco Golf and tennis and all that, Tiger and golf, outdoing the guy, showing that we can do it. But after years of discrimination in those sports, and once we got in there, we could, even in management and baseball. So the point is that they see us as entertainment also.
Mm.
Yeah. And they see us as sexual objects, you understand? And they see it for taxes and military. But when it comes down to giving us equal power, you know, they treat you right long they feel that they got the upper hand. Long white folks feel that they are really in power and that the system will protect them from you getting power. They support it. That's why so many white people voted for Trump. You know, everybody looking at the minorities that voted for him. You know, 10% here, 15% here, the minority, 20% here. But the majority of white people that were registered voters voted for this man.
The vast majority.
Go ahead.
I said the vast majority.
Yeah.
At least 3 out of 4 of them.
Of course. And they voted for a man that had been convicted, a man that incited an insurrection at the White House, a man that did many things that caused a disruption in the society. A habitual liar.
Professor Ryan, isn't it something that the same people who were the victims, some of the elected officials who were victims, who were actually people who were trying to really hurt and or kill, fell right back in line?
What are
we dealing with?
When you're dealing with big money, you understand? Money cuts a lot of ties. Cruz out of Texas, He called his wife ugly and everything.
Yeah, insult the family. Oh, personal.
Yeah, and even Rubio. It's just about, see, people want to know why do people like Maxine Waters, Pelosi, and Mitch McConnell in the 80s, 90s, going on 90s, stay in office so long? It's about money, man. They're dealing with international money, inside trading and bonds. I mean, they come out, they go in poor, but many of them come out multimillionaire. You know, many of them probably voted for the, look at Snoop Dogg and Ice Cube supporting Trump. Why? They're billionaires and they want the tax cut. And it cuts a lot of ties when you have money. You act strange. Money make you act strange. You understand toward yourself and your people.
Us. But the rest of them seem to be able to galvanize. But it's just us that seem like that you get, well, I'm not going to say all the people, not all of us, but it seems like the people who are most seen, the big stars, they flip out.
Well, they have interest. See, when you look at who made them rich, who made the rappers rich, and who promoted hip hop to counter black consciousness and cultural development among us as the people. MCA Records, RCA Records, all these big record companies are the ones that are giving them Grammys and giving them awards and selling them masses to white people. But white people look at it as entertainment. Many of us try to live the life that the song is playing, you know? And when you take a cat who can't spell college, can't pronounce school, a multi-millionaire, you know, that makes a lot of people think that they can do that. You know, when we're coming up, being an athlete in a singing group or some type of other form of entertainment was our goal to get out together. You understand? Get out to make it rich. That was our lotto, to become a superstar in one of those things. Today, it's all kind of stuff going on. People, young kids, into electronic things. AI, the system weaponized AI. They're trying to figure out, how can I continue to stay in power? Yes. And the only way to stay in power is to suppress the people that you don't want to share power with. You understand? And we are that group. And we have to learn to use AI and all that to educate our people, to organize our people. You understand? To mobilize our people. And then confront the system or build the system we want to build. And that's a critical dynamic from that standpoint. But it's not easy, brother, trying to deprogram people. You understand, who are American by habit and black by choice. You have to choose to take a black consciousness, and Dr. Karenga teaching, to be black. And you ask people, what did you do black today? Just ask them that. And say, you say you black. Well, tell me what philosophy is black people you live by.
You understand? They sure are not a we. It's a me, and they done turned into a bunch of Judases that, you know, the young people, I'm talking about the 40 to 50 year old males that I've been talking to. It's not me, it's not we, it's me, and I'm a Judas because I'll sell you out for a few coins of silver.
Yeah. Well, see, all people have those type of people. Even white people have shut up. You got white people that spies, and sell information to foreign countries. You got white people that assassinate leaders and things of that nature. You got white gang, white mafia, white things, but they make you think that you doing things to yourself. Well, all groups do things to themselves. The majority of Latinos are killed by Latinos. Majority of whites are killed by whites. majority of black is killed by black, because that's who we live around. That we steal from each other because we feel comfortable in our own neighborhood. We could get away. And white folks, look at the white folks that steal billions from the bank, real estate businesses, and things of this nature. They never say white on white crime. They never say that. See, it's easy for them to talk about everybody besides white folks. You can call them all kind of names and everything. But when it comes to talk, if you call a white man something, they say, you racist. You understand? But if you're not like there's some Latinos over here from El Salvador and Nicaragua. They come with prejudices and gang affiliations and things of this nature. But the Mexican Americans have been living among black people in harmony. We worked together during the civil rights movement, the black power, black and brown power movement of the 60s. All of that is very essential. You know, that's why I was telling y'all the other time. In Kwanzaa, we worked with Cesar Chavez when he said great boycott. And the reason we was in solidarity with him. That's why when we set up a Kwanzaa, we don't put grapes out with the fruit. And when we supported the boycott during the 60s, people don't know about that history. Mm. See, now he got college students deporting them and demanding that they don't speak out against the genocide in Gaza. And that's why him and Menachem, the Jewish leader, Israel leader, met. But they don't want other people to come in to see what they have done, what America has done, supplying them the weapons and not demanding them the support. Let me give you an example. Trump can spend thousands, millions of dollars to bomb Iran and military, but he won't send military and money to stop the genocide in Gaza. That's the same thing with Africa. They can import guns, weapons, and drugs, but they can't import food and medicine and ability for them to become self-sufficient. So what people do out of desperation, they become corrupt with the government of America. Their leaders, they buy them on the continent, many of them, you understand? And then they assassinate the young people to try to rise up, just like they do here. But anyway, anybody want to respond to what I've said? Machine, do you have any other comments?
Then it's gone.
Okay. What about you, Linda?
Oh, no, I don't have any other comments. I was just listening and soaking it in.
Yeah, well, you got some issues out there.
Oh, yeah, but we talked about those already.
Yeah, but
I wanted to hear what Dr. Sherita was going to say. Has she left?
She said she's driving. She said.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Ernest, you have any closing comments?
Only thing you, what you've been saying, been just reminding me all my life. My dad was kind of saying the same thing.
Yeah, I stood up
under you. He would say, man, a white man just, he's no good. The bottom line, but he said, what that is, just power, because he said when he came here from Mississippi, say Long Beach was worse than Mississippi. With the black codes and all that, and, you know, they catch a black man on the street, says, oh, where you working at? Well, I just got in town today. I don't have no job. So they arrest him for vagrancy. Take him downtown. The judge say, well, 10 days, he's, you know, $50. He said, I don't have no money. I just got in. I'm broke. He said, well, you have to work it off on the farms, because around this area, you know, Long Beach and Lakewood, all this was farmland, and they had a lot of dairies and farms. So you had to go out on somebody's farm and work it off. And he said that was same thing, the sharecropper, you know, what they were doing in the South, just under a different name, you know.
Yeah.
So it just brings back a lot of memories, you know.
You know.
Wish they could do it today, probably.
Oh, they're doing it today. They're doing it today. That's what they mean by slave labor. Man, we were 100% employed during the Holocaust of enslavement. 100%. Men, women, children, babies, everybody worked. When it was free, and they didn't have to pay. As soon as we got our struggle to free ourselves so we can be ourselves, all of a sudden we unemployed. Ain't that something?
Yeah.
From full employment to no employment. Okay. Who else is on, Rashidi?
I just say what you were saying about the corruption in the government, these people making the money. What I can appreciate about Trump is he don't have no, if you look right at him, he's showing you how he making that money with the government right now, with the stock market, with having his children go and fly and meet these people before he land and make these business deals. And he's not ashamed of he doing out open. Nobody's talking about how he, this is the most successful business venture he has ever had in his life. Using the governor, using the president's office blatantly to make money. Now, I understand him pushing.
Wow.
Let me tell you this, man. He got the majority of white people behind him. Their goal is to depopulate his country to a significant amount, that white people be the majority for the next 10, 15, 20 years in their lifespan. That's their goal. Now you can see it. I mean, just open your eyes. Why you have, you are revoking temporary protective status? Why are you revoking visas, work permits? People just working. They ain't criminals. Why, you know, and then the Afro-Latino, the Afro-Asian, I mean the Asian, Afro-Asians, and all of them, and Asian. They want to make sure that they become the majority of people, not just in the South, but also in the urban. You'd be thinking the white people move out their communities. When blacks moved in, Latinos moved in, don't support Trump. Yes, they do. They look at it, you invading their neighborhood. That's why they take the wealth with them. When they were there, all the parks were green, all everything was running right. City Hall was taking care of all these services. And all of a sudden, when we get there, the funding ain't there. Ain't this, ain't that, ain't this. You understand? And then if you have a flourishing community, it's all black, they'll burn it down like they did Wall Street, Black Wall Street. But any other comments? Okay, Roger, can you take us on in?
All right. Tomorrow we have Brother Quagmire coming on, and the topic is, where are we going? So that should be interesting.
Was that Quaminine?
Quaminine, yeah. Yes.
Okay. And next week I'm gonna have Brother Pip Pruitt coming back to talk more about strategies for reparation.
Okay. So each one teach one in conscious corner. Everybody have a great evening.
All right then, brother.
You too.
Take care. Everybody have a good time.